Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Delicious Talk. This is your host, Gail Delicious Johnson. Hope everybody's having a happy Friday evening. For those who are just tuning into my show for the first time, I'm an author of two published books. My first book was Past Is Not Forgotten. My second book, You May Get Lucky. You Might Get Lucky, I'm sorry. They can be purchased on my website, which is www.deliciousbooks.webs.com. I'm also the co-host for two popular radio shows that air. One airs Saturday, that's Chocolate Coffee Books, that airs Saturdays at 11 p.m., and the Lamont Carey Show, which airs Sundays. Okay, I'm going to jump right into the show. This evening's show is The 12 Myths of Cheating. There's been a lot of cheating going around, Tiger Woods, Jesse James, and, you know, it's just been a lot of cheating. And basically, men are doing a lot of cheating. Not to say that women don't, but it's basically seemed like these men are doing a lot of cheating. So I've gathered up some information concerning myths about cheating. And some of them you may agree, some you may not agree, as well as myself. Some of them I agree with and some of them I don't. And I don't condone cheating at all. I've never cheated in a relationship, but I've been in relationships where I've been cheated on. So with no further ado, I'm going to read over the 12 myths, and then we'll discuss them one by one. The first, number one myth is people cheat because they're unhappy at home. Myth number two, men cheat much more than women do. Myth number three, affairs are mostly about sex. Myth number four, if he cheats on you, he doesn't love you. Myth number five, sex with an ex isn't cheating because you've been there, done that. Myth number six, you can affair-proof your relationship. Myth number seven, if he has a history of cheating, he'll probably cheat on you too. Myth number eight, you should always confess if you've had an affair. Myth number nine, cheating doesn't count if no one finds out about it. Myth number 10, if there's no sex involved, it's not an affair. Myth number 11, fantasizing about someone else means you're about to be unfaithful. Myth number 12, affairs can save relationships. Woo, even the sound of some of them are really up for debate. But let's deal with myth number one. People cheat because they're unhappy at home. And it states, if you're a female, this is usually the case. Women in long-term marriages who are having affairs report low satisfaction with their marriage. For men, on the other hand, that's not necessarily the case. Many men who love their partners and have great sex at home never turn down an opportunity for a bit on the side if they think they can get away with it. In one study, 56% of cheating men surveyed said their marriages were very happy. Only 34% of unfaithful women agreed. Are these unfaithful women the mistresses or the wives? Because I can agree partially with that, but not all the way, because something has to be causing this person to go out and have sex with another person other than their wife or their significant partner. It could be the sex, or it's just something, because I just can't see a person who's in a loving relationship. They say they love their partner and the sex is good, but they go out and have sex on with someone else as long as they can get away with it. What is that all about? But I could be wrong, so if someone wants to talk about that or have experienced that or has something to say about it, just call in. The call-in number is 646-652-2877. And I think that women, like it has stated, women in long-term marriages who are having affairs report low satisfaction with their marriage, and that could be a multitude of things, because it could be sex, it could be financial problems or whatever. But that's just my opinion. So I may be wrong about that, but I just can't see a person being in a loving relationship and having great sex and just want to taking a risk to go out to get somebody else thinking they can get away with it. They might get away with it for a minute, but when that hammer hits that head and all hell breaks loose, then you know what? You're sorry. So if men take risks like that just so thinking they can get away with it, then that's crazy. That's really a crazy reason to cheat. So let's go on with myth number two. Men cheat more than women do. This used to be the case, but now the infidelity scales are balancing out. Why? Women cheat for the same reasons as men. It's someone new, it's naughty, and therefore nice. But there are other reasons women cheat. The affair was a reward for being an unappreciated wife and mother, or for putting up with the partner who wasn't affectionate, didn't listen, or ignored them. It was an ego boost. Gone are the days when we treat ourselves to a new lipstick or haircut to cheer ourselves up. We're still not as blessed about affairs as men. Women are more likely to feel guilty. But given this, that study shows we're much better at lying, we're also more likely to get away with it. It's also a myth that it's men who try to turn friendships into affairs. Most unfaithful men see affairs as highly opportunities and low involvement. On the contrary, it tends to be women who push platonic relationships from friendship to love and fantasy to reality, according to psychologists. Women get more emotional involved and are keen to test our friendships to determine if they make for better relationships than their current situations. So she's often seeking a potential soulmate. He's just having fun. Now, that sounds basically true, because we, as women, we are more emotional. And if we are in a platonic relationship, some women like to get involved with their platonic partners, and some women like to keep it at a friendship. And I think once, if you're in a long-term platonic relationship with somebody, once you cross that line, I don't think it's going to work out, because of the simple fact, it's just so much you know about that person, and then you have sex with them, then you're expecting more than just the sex, because we have an attachment. Women are just emotional, and we want to be loved. we give love, we want love. Men, they give love or sex or whatever, and that's it. They can get up and walk away. But, you know, it's just a chemical in women that causes us to be affectionate and wanting attention and, you know, wanting that attachment, that commitment, and, you know, just wanting to be with that particular person. When men, they basically can sleep with a woman one night, the next day, you know, he doesn't even think about her. That's just how men are. And like it says, gone are the days when we treat ourselves to a new lipstick or haircut to cheer ourselves up. Women basically, well, they would go shopping or go out to drinks or things like that. Now it's getting to the point where they, when they're hurt, they get into these relationships with other guys or, you know, look for that attention elsewhere. Look at Leanne Woods. She went to a strip club and told them, don't call the paparazzis. And they, well, they didn't elaborate on what happened when she was in there. Was saying something about this one stripper she was giving big tips to and things like that. But she's emotionally hurt. And she's basically, I guess, trying to compensate by being out there. Now, we don't know if she's been with another man, per se, intimately or anything like that, but it could be building up to that because she's, this is how she's releasing her hurt. And I'm quite sure she's angry, too, and she feels probably like a fool, disrespected, you know, just used. Because what Tiger Woods did was really, oh my God, it was really not only Tiger Woods, but Jesse James as well and all the other cheaters out there that cheated on their significant others, their wives and their girlfriends. It's not a good thing, and the outcome is never good. So I don't know if it's if the women have actually caught up with the men as far as the men doing the cheating. Because the women who were with these other guys, they weren't, like, in relationships. At least they didn't say they were. But, yeah, men cheat more than women do. That's debatable. That's really debatable. And I really think that if someone, you know, cheats on you, you should just... If you can't talk things over and get back on track, then you don't need to be in that relationship. Just get out of it because it's nothing good going to come of it. Okay, myth number 3, affairs are mostly about sex. Okay, sometimes affairs are about sex and most certainly include sex because sex with someone else is forbidden, making it very appealing, but sex is not always the reason people cheat. Affairs are a way of people to get something they're not getting from the relationship they're in. It's that simple. What's not so simple is define what it is that's missing. In fact, oftentimes the cheating partner isn't aware of it. Some people are searching for something they lost as a child, others for lost youth. Some people cheat on perfect partners because they're sick of perfection. It's not always about sex. Okay, sometimes it's not always about sex. It could be just like they had said, it could be something's missing, but, you know, you haven't found out what that is, and you go to another person, you just want to talk to that person or be held by that person or, you know, just have a drink with that person or spend time with that person or be around that person to maybe fill a void where your partner isn't giving you that attention. And as far as, like, from the sex part of it, maybe there's something that your partner's not doing that you might like done. Y'all may not have discussed it or it may have been something that was discussed and your partner just doesn't like doing certain sexual things, so naturally you're going to go out and get it from somebody else, if that's the case. And some people are searching for something that they lost as a child. Now, I don't see where that ties into cheating. But then again, it possibly could. But that sounds a little far-fetched to me. Then say some people cheat on perfect partners because they're sick of perfection. Well, if someone is a perfectionist and you can't deal with that, I don't understand why that would make you cheat. It seems you would sit down and talk about whatever it is they're trying to be a perfectionist about. You know, if they are a person who likes to look good and keep the house clean and, you know, to have everything in order, and, you know, that's basically something that a person should be happy with, not unless you're a person who don't like those things or disagree with those things. But I can't see a person cheating for somebody's perfectionist. But I know it's not always about sex. There are different things. It could be financial or just the way your partner may have changed their attitude and, you know, different things like that. So it's definitely not always about the sex. Okay. Number four, if he cheats on you, he doesn't love you. It may feel that way, but it's not necessarily the case. It does, however, mean he doesn't respect you enough to honor the commitment you've made to one another, and that he has a different value system than yours. Some people are more than capable of separating sex from love, and physically sleeping with someone else doesn't affect their love for you. Generally, men tend to have sex-based affairs, not emotional or love-based affairs. But the decision you need to make is whether his definition of love is enough for you. Okay, if he cheats on you, he doesn't love you. And then it says, he doesn't respect you enough to honor the commitments you've made. If you don't respect a person, that's not loving them as well. Because if you love somebody, you're going to respect them. And you're going to present that respect in all manners. If you cheat on them, that's not respecting a person. So that's something that I would have a debate for. Because stating that means he doesn't respect you enough. It does, however, mean he doesn't respect you enough, right? I'm sorry. It does mean he does respect you enough to honor your commitment you've made to another, and that he has a different value system than yours. Okay. So if he disrespects you and his value systems are different, there's either a lack of communication going on there or he doesn't love you. I think that's one that, like I said, is debatable. Because you love somebody, you're going to respect them, you're going to be kind to them, you're going to care for them, you're going to love them, you're going to be there for them. You're not going to do anything to hurt them or to make them, you know, upset. So let's see what this caller has to say about that. Caller 202-248, you on the line?
Yes, I just dialed the number and just started listening, so I didn't really hear the beginning of the program. I apologize for that.
Oh, okay. Well, then I'll just catch you up on a few things. I've just got on their 12 myths of cheating, and I'm at number four. And the fourth one is if he cheats on you, he doesn't love you. And it was stating, it does, however, mean he doesn't respect you enough to honor the commitment you've made to one another, and that he has a different value system than yours. And if you disrespect somebody, how can you love somebody if you disrespect them? So that's what I was saying. That's debatable. If someone cheats on you, he doesn't love you. They're saying that's a myth. But
well, I think it is too.
Yeah, because if you love someone, you're not going to be disrespectful to them. You're not going to lie to them and cheat on them. So I think that that is a myth that needs to, a myth that's debatable. So that's myth number four.
Okay.
Okay, and myth number five, sex with an ex isn't cheating because you've been there, done that. Okay, sleeping with an ex is a sexual slip-up people most commonly expect to get away with. It doesn't feel like you're being unfaithful. It's not as if it was someone new who might expect the sex to turn into a relationship, right? Wrong. Sadly, this is exactly why sex with an ex can have disastrous consequences. You might be having a shag for old time's sake, but your ex may be doing it as a desperate bid to rekindle the relationship. So you have to break it off again and explain to your current partner why you're suddenly getting emails or call from him after all this time. The chances of getting found out are actually higher than if you had sex with a stranger, because strangers won't feel the need to write a long, incriminating closure email. Okay, now sex with the ex isn't cheating because you've been there, done that. Anytime you have sex with anybody, it could be your ex, a friend, a neighbor, or whatever, and if you're in another relationship, that's cheating. So that is correct. I think that is definitely correct. That one was on point. Because if you you're having sex with this person, they may become wanting to have you back. So they begin to call you, they begin to text you, they begin to follow you, then harass you, and then your other partner is saying, "Well, what's going on? You told me that y'all had broke up." And one thing leads to another, then your partner may leave you because you just wanted to have sex with your ex and thinking it was okay, and it's not. So that is on point. What do you think, caller?
Well, I had a relationship. Well, I guess you'd call it a one-night stand. At the time, I was married, and I felt that my husband wasn't giving me enough attention. So after 20-some years, I ran into an ex who I hadn't seen in a while. I mean, I haven't seen him like over 20, 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the first night that I saw him, we just, started talking about old times. And before I knew it, I was like really excited about him and couldn't wait to just be with him.
Mm-hmm.
So he was from out of town,
mm-hmm.
and he called me one Labor Day, Memorial Day, or something like that. After he had went back home, and then he came back into town, and he said he just came back into town to see me. So I got with him. I hooked up with him. And I had no intentions of having sex with him.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to spend some time with him,
Okay. Well, after the sex and everything, did you consider it as being there and done that, or did you consider that you had cheated on your husband?
That I was unfaithful to my husband. And yes, it bothered me tremendously. It bothered me so bad to the point I had to tell my husband. I mean, I talked to other friends about it, and they was like, "No, you don't need to tell him that. Take that to your grave."
Well, we're gonna get to that one as well. But let me go on with myth number six.
Okay.
Okay. Number six. You can affair proof your relationships. You can lower the chances of an affair in your relationship, but there are never any guarantees. The next best thing, choose the right partner. choosing the right person is more important than keeping them happy once you've got them, because things like morals, value systems, and family backgrounds are much stronger influence on whether someone will cheat or not. That you have to choose your person carefully and keeping them happy and check out his morals and value systems and family backgrounds. And, you know, because if he came from a family of cheaters or, you know, he cheated before, you know, you basically have to go through all that. And it still doesn't determine whether or not he'll cheat, but, you know, it's best to do those things, because I don't think anybody can affair-proof their relationship.
Right, that's right.
Yeah. Okay, myth number 7. If he has a history of cheating, he'll probably cheat on you too. This one is almost always true. If your partner's cheated on almost everyone they've been out with and nothing has happened to make them rethink their behavior, they're almost certainly to do the same to you. So this is a cheater that cheats and, you know, gets away with it, or, you know, he just goes from person to person cheating. When he gets caught with that person, go with somebody else, and so it's never been addressed or made him really rethink his behavior. You know, like saying, you know, why are you cheating? You know, get to the root of it. And so he's an habitual cheater, and I think that's true. If a person has a history of cheating, they 9 times out of 10 will cheat on you. So that's my take on that one. Okay, number 8, you should always confess if you've had an affair. Okay, if the affair is known or strongly suspected, you're better off telling. You've got more chance of rescuing your relationship after voluntarily confessing that after an unwanted discovery. But if it's unlikely to be discovered, there are also valid reasons for keeping your mouth shut. For example, some experts will advise you not to tell if your partner is not the strongest person emotionally. News of an affair isn't exactly going to give them the leg up on the steep, bumpy road to high self-esteem. Telling is going to wipe out any trust they've mustered up, and it could take years to rebuild, if indeed that's possible. Instead, work out why you had the affair in the first place. What were you getting from it that you aren't getting from the relationship you're in? Is it possible to create that with the person you're already with? The worst possible reason to confess an affair is to make yourself feel better. True, it will lift the guilt off your shoulders, but it will plunk a whole heap of pain on your partners. You made the mistake. Now deal with the consequences. Now, you said, caller 202, you said when you had the affair, you felt guilty and you told your husband. What was his take on it? Was he hurt about it or angry, or how did he respond when you told him?
He was very hurt. He... Like I told you, I know my husband trusts me, and that was, I never thought I would do anything like that, and we discussed that. I told him if he wanted to leave me, he could leave, but I still loved him no matter what, mm-hmm. And I asked him to forgive me because I know I made a mistake, and I would never, ever do anything like that again.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, after that affair, did his emotions or his actions change towards you? Did he still treat you the same way he did before the affair, or was there a little difference?
As a matter of fact, it was different. I mean, he started buying me flowers, started telling me how much he loved me. He treated me different for a few months, mm-hmm. But then he seemed like he was a little withdrawn from me.
Oh, after that.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, let's see. Myth number 9. Cheating doesn't count if no one finds out about it. Does cheating really matter if there's absolutely no chance you'd ever found out? You will never see the person again. You had safe sex. It meant nothing, and you told no one. It completely depends on your personality. If you genuinely see nothing wrong with what you did, it probably doesn't. There's just one problem with this theory. Very few people truly believe there's nothing wrong with cheating. Even dogged people are aware they're doing something wrong. And this is where it all unravels. As your perception of your partner changes, you're one up on him because you got away with something. This makes him appear either naive and too trusting or vulnerable and hopelessly helpless. Good relationships are based on mutual admiration and respect, not pitying your partner or secretly thinking they're ignorant. Okay, so this basically sounds that it's on point as well. Cheating doesn't count if it doesn't, if your part, if no one finds out. And
you say it doesn't count?
No, that's what they, that's the myth.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a problem behind that theory. And
yeah.
Say few people truly believe there's nothing wrong with cheating, but there is something wrong with cheating because you get that, you get a feeling in your gut and you get a feeling in your heart and you get a feeling in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
What did I just do? Why did
mm-hmm.
I do that? You know,
mm-hmm.
you're saying these things to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you think that, you know, that you're on top or, you know, because you got away with something. And, you know, it's not, you know, even when you can lie to everybody else, but when you lie to yourself, it's really bad. It's really bad to be a liar to yourself because you're just poisoning your system and making yourself into a bad person.
That's
so
right. That's why I had to tell my husband.
Mm-hmm.
You're definitely right.
Because, you know, there's an old saying, what happens in the dark generally shows up in the light. So if you didn't tell him, it may have been a possibility that someone else may have seen you with this guy and came back and told him, and possibly the guy could have even, you know, told your husband. Not saying that it, you know, happened like that, but sometimes you have cases like that when the guy don't want to, the other guy doesn't want to let the girl go, then he gets all upset and jealous. And he calls and tell her husband or, you know, her boyfriend, yeah, I slept with your woman, and I'll sleep with her when I feel like it, you know, because his feelings are hurt, and he don't want to let her go. So if he can't have her, nobody can have her. And that's just how some men think, and that's sad. But, you know, so it does count as far as, like, if you're an honest person to yourself and if you have a conscience, I think it does count. So, you know, it's best to get it out there. You know, and then it says that some things, if your partner is weak and you don't think they can handle it, then, you know, that came under the myth of you should always confess if you've had an affair. But there are also things telling you that maybe reasons why you shouldn't. But, you know, in your case, you was feeling guilty and you confess, and you have people like that, and you have people that would rather, you know, keep it silent and not, you know, not say anything about it.
Right. Well, it was eating at me, so I had to say something.
Right, right. Okay, then we're going to go with myth number 10. If there's no sex involved, it's not an affair. Emotionally infidelity, deep passionate connections between people who often aren't even aware they've crossed the line from platonic friendship to romantic love, is the biggest threat a marriage can face. More than 80% of unfaithful people have affairs with someone who started out as just a friend, very often a workmate. In fact, one study showed that 50% of unfaithful women and 62% of unfaithful men were involved with someone at work. Intense but invisible, erotic but unconsumed. Emotional infidelity is dangerous, addictive, and way too easy to get away with. If you're often pretending you're single when you're not, if you send secret texts or emails, if you share intimate details of your life with people you fancy and lie to your partner about seeing them, you are an emotional cheater. I can agree with that because when...
Oh, so you're saying you're a cheater without even having sex? Is that what they're saying?
Yeah. Mm. Emotional infidelity.
Mm.
When you, because it can go from platonic friendship to a romantic love, and it's the biggest threat a marriage can face. So, you know, people who, say like if you went to work and you had a friend at work, a guy friend at work, and you was having problems at home, and you begin to tell him the problems you're having at home, of course he's going to listen. And, you know, you're going to just keep telling him your problems, and he's going to keep listening, and then eventually he's going to say something. Well, you know, if you come over to my place, we can have a drink and talk about it. You get over there, then he's going to, well, you know, I'll give you a good massage, and, you know, then he's massaging you. The next thing you know, y'all are kissing, and then you have sex. There it is, you know, so being emotional infidelity is serious, and it's dangerous. It could lead from one thing to another, you know, because, you know, like when people are vulnerable and people are having problems at home, they want to out and they want to get things settled, but their partner is not listening to them. Their partner is not hearing what they're saying, so they're taking their problems to someone else who will listen to them and will, you know, give them that outlet. And the next thing you know, they're in an affair. So I can agree with that. I definitely can agree with that. So I'm going to give out the number 646-652-2877. Tonight's topic is the 12 myths of cheating. If you have any questions or comments, call in, press 1 to raise your hand. We're going to take a little break, and I'll be right back.
Driving me out of my head, oh boy.
Welcome back. This is Delicious Talk. Tonight's topic is the 12 myths of cheating. If you have any questions or comments, the call-in number is 646-652-2877. When you call in, press the 1. That means your hand's up and I'll call on you. We're on myth number 11. Myth number 11 is fantasizing about someone else means you're about to be unfaithful. While many sex therapists will actually encourage couples in long-term relationships to fantasize about other people to cope with temptation, logic being, it's okay to be unfaithful in your head, just not your bed. Others say it's risky. They say affairs start in the mind, and fantasy sex can make you want the real thing even more. The whole point of fantasies, after all, is to conjure a brilliantly perfect sex. While the real-life unfaithful encounter is likely to be far less exciting and imperfect, strong images can increase the craving to stay. Now, I would have to say, because I fantasize about this man so much until I believe that if I was in a relationship or if I was married, that I would actually be with this one particular man that I have fantasies about. And I have always, always had love for this man in my heart since I was a teenager. And I fantasize about being with him. I most definitely do. And like I said, if I had the opportunity to be with him, I would be with him. You know, so I think that fantasies can be a little risky, especially if it's a fantasy that you basically have yearned for and wanted, and, you know, it's just a fantasy that has been in my brain forever, and that's about my baby daddy, Smokey Robinson, y'all, okay? I had to get that out there, but that's basically, I guess I would even have to tell my husband about it. Because that's just a strong fantasy that I have had forever. So, you know, not to say everybody has those fantasies like that, but it can lead to that. And I'm just here to tell you that. Because that's, you know, a fantasy that I've had forever and ever. And given the opportunity to live it out, I would. What do you think of that 202?
Oh, I don't have any fantasies about any other man right now.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever, though?
Yes, that was the man that I had the affair with. So he's no longer here. He's no longer living. Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, then there's another proof right there. Let's see what this caller has to say. He has his hand up. 707, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. You ready to comment?
Yeah, the fantasy thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, as far as I'm concerned, people, you have as much fantasies as you want because ain't nobody can tell you what to do in your own head.
That's
but
true.
If you're going to cheat, you're going to cheat. If you're weak, you're going to cheat. What you think in your head is one thing, but it's a matter of what kind of strength you have to be loyal.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go ahead and fantasize because, you know, no one can tell you not to, and you can't not fantasize. What
right.
It boils down to is self-control.
Right.
Either you're going to cheat or you're not going to cheat because I fantasize plenty of times.
Right.
But you know what? I also fantasize about my wife, too.
Mm-hmm.
And if my fantasies got me turned on, I'd go see her.
Well, this is just like, this is a fantasy I've had forever. And like I said, if I was married, I would definitely have to tell my husband, you know, because it's just a fantasy that I've had forever and ever. And like I said, given the opportunity, I would do it. So either he and I would talk about it and whatever. I just don't know. But it's just a fantasy that I think that, if I had the opportunity to have an affair with that person, I believe that I would because it's just been a fantasy of mine forever and ever, you know. So I'm just thinking now, not to say when it comes down to it what's going to happen, but as far as I can see and say now, if I had the opportunity, then I would execute it. But until that day comes, it remains to be seen. You know, it's, I don't think it's not a matter of me being weak. It's just something that I want to do, and I've already made the commitment in my mind that that's what I'm going to do. Because any relationship that I've been in, I've always told the guys that I was in love with this person. And they, well, basically, you know, they accepted because in their mind, they know the chances of the same way with myself of me and this person getting together are none to slim. So, you know, it's just a fantasy. Okay.
I agree with the caller. If I had a fantasy, well, if my husband was still living, I think I would just go to him and not say anything because it's in my head. And just, you know, I don't think I would tell my husband that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking of another man, but, you know, I'm with him.
But see, my fantasy is so far-fetched. It's so far-fetched. And I don't even think that it will ever come true. So I get a kick out of living the fantasy and then sharing it, you know. So that gives me that much more satisfaction out of it. Because my chances of sleeping with Smokey Robinson are, I have a better chance of hitting the lottery. You know, so it's just basically a fun thing for me to express and just, you know, to let them know that, you know, that I have this fantasy.
Yeah.
So, well, you know, it's
fantasy.
Just a fantasy.
So you're normal.
Yes, it's just a fantasy.
You're normal. It's just a fantasy and anybody can see. I might say, yeah, I heard that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because now with somebody else, no. But with him, yes, you know. But like I said, it's just so far-fetched. And then the simple fact that I've never been in a relationship where I've cheated, you know. But that's just a little fantasy of mine I like to kick around and like to share with my partners, the partners that I've been in relationships with. And they basically, you know, they basically joke with me and, you know, play around with me about it because they know. As well as I do. I'll hit the lottery first before I get that opportunity. You know, but it's good to, you know, have fantasies and, you know, how people deal with them, but not to say when you have a fantasy to turn it into an affair. You know, I don't, I'm not suggesting anybody to do that. You know, but that's that.
Now, if you was to have a fantasy like that with someone at the workplace.
Oh, no. No.
Yeah.
Not.
I was listening to the workplace one.
You know, I've only had fantasies about this particular person. And when I'm with my partner, I have fantasies about them. You see what I'm saying? So I don't have fantasies about other people. You know, if I have a fantasy, it's something that'll stay in my head anyway. But I don't really fantasize about anybody like that. But that one person and, you know, whoever I'm in a relationship with. Okay, so we're going to
most of my fantasies were with my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And
well,
That's not uncommon with husbands. They do fantasize
right.
about their wives. And
right.
Nice
right.
thing about it is your fantasy can come true.
Right. That's true. So that's why I'm saying when I'm in a relationship with somebody and I speak of my other fantasy, they're not even bothered by it because they know, hey, I got this. You know, so it's all good. But I'm not telling anybody if you have a fantasy to execute it with anybody other than your partner. It's always good to fantasize about your partner, you know, different things you can get into and different things you can do. So don't fantasize about somebody and start up a relationship. That's not good. Okay, we're going to move right along to myth number 12. Affairs can save relationships. myth is perpetuated by cheating people as justification for what they've done, and it's false. Can you imagine a couple ever saying, boy, that affair was the best thing to ever happen to us? That's because you won't. Affairs usually involve breaking a vow, lying on a regular basis, and betraying trust. Even those who survive find the relationship tinged with resentment, sadness, and guilt. Having said that, looking at the reasons why people stray can help piece together what's left of what you had before. People often have affairs to reinvent themselves, or more accurately, to be the person they think they want to be. A long-term partner is likely to see you as the person you were when you met, rather than the person you've become or the person you want to become. An affair gives you the chance to start over. That's why after an affair, it's important to ask, who were you with that person? How can you be that person with me? Okay, now, an affair saving a relationship, I don't think so. I really don't. I don't think an affair can save
it. Okay, sure. I mean, after being with her, I realized how much I feel about you. Mm. And I'm glad I did it, because now I know that you're the best for me, because she wouldn't do it right anyway. And, but, you know, I think I should try one more time, just to be sure. But it was really good for our marriage. God, I can't wait to get hold of you.
No, I don't think a relationship, because what happens when you get in that relationship with somebody else and you end up having feelings for that other person, trying to get your other relationship together? No, it's not good. It's always trying to say relationship is best to communicate. If that doesn't work, have counseling. And if that doesn't work, maybe you need to get some type of spiritual advice, or, you know, if you really want this relationship to work out, the worst thing to do is to have an affair with someone else, because that's not helping your relationship. Do you guys agree?
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, that pretty much puts the kibosh on your relationship.
Yeah. Because if you're gonna, you know, I just can't. That definitely is a myth. Relationships being saved.
So some people really think that by cheating on their relationship, it helps their relationship. That's what it's saying.
Yeah,
only if it works when you tell it.
Right. Well, some people, they have like they get in these groups and they have sex with, they have menage a trois, and they think that'll help their relationship out, or they become swingers, or, you know, different things like that, and they think that enriches their relationship. Now, it might, you know, do something for them, but eventually, I can't be with two people at the same time.
Right.
You know, because, and that's just like,
I don't even think you could love anybody like that. That's why I can't understand how people can cheat. And, you know, I have girlfriends that have, you know, they're married, and then they have a man on the side. I just don't understand how they can do that. I really don't. And say that they love this person.
Mm.
But at the same time, they love their husbands, too. No. No.
I can't see that either. I really can't, because how can you, it's crazy. It's really crazy, because I just can't see a person being with another person trying to enrich their relationship. It basically becomes all about the sex, I think.
Right.
You know, because I've just seen too many programs and heard too many stories of a couple having a menage a trois, and the boyfriend leaves his wife for the person who participated in the menage a trois, and, you know, and it's just, it gets crazy. So if you don't put yourself in that predicament, then you don't have, you know, that to worry about. So don't ever think that having an affair is going to do anything for your relationship, not unless you're living that lifestyle, a person who is a swinger or a person who lives an alternative lifestyle, then they have rules and they have regulations to the point where they accept that. That's a part of their life, so they can deal with it like that. But people who are not in that lifestyle, it's not good. It's not good at all. So the time is winding down. I have 4 minutes left in the show. And my next show is on the 21st, and that show is The Thrill Is Gone. That show is about men who can no longer perform and what they can do about it, and women whose sex drive has gone, what they can do about it. That's on the 21st, 11 p.m. Hmm. I appreciate you guys for coming out.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah, so tune in. That's on the 21st. My show is every other Friday, 11 p.m., right here at Delicious Talk. And the show after that, I really haven't gotten a show after that, but I'll be posting the shows. You can stop by the show page. I am going to do some little part two shows. I'm going to do another prison show. And I'm going to also do another toy show. I think I may have a toy party online. But, just check my show page, and I'll be sending out invites.
You said you're going to do another prison show. What's that, about people being locked up?
Yeah, the jail system as well.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, that'll be a good one.
Yeah, so.
Oh, Delicious.
Yeah.
On Facebook, there's a page called Brownsville, Brooklyn, New York.
Right, I went to it. That's very interesting.
You check that out?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been rocking on that.
Yeah, I certainly did, and I'll be checking that out, and I'll be, as soon as I get the prison show together, I'll be giving you a call, sending out the invite for that and letting you guys know about that. So with all that being said, oh, and if there are any mothers out there listening, happy Mother's Day. Have a beautiful day. Any single fathers out there, the same goes for you. I love you guys. Take care. Good night.
Good night.